and welcome to the Big Web Show, Everything Web That Matters. I am your host, Jeffrey Zeldman, and with me today is the remarkable Jamie Newberry, co-founder of Picture This Clothing, co-founder of Tiny Challenges, advisor to Martian Craft, co-founder of WWDC, supporting women at the Apple Worldwide Developer Conference. Jamie, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeffrey. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Have we done this before or
We
not?
Have not. That's a long-awaited honor on my part.
I've been wanting to do this for a long time. I assumed I had actually done this already. I'm surprised that we somehow did not. But let's dive right in. You're the co-founder. I first met you working on the Zappos account. Right?
Yeah, 2009.
And you've been a designer. Let's start with what you do now, where you are, how you came, and we'll work our way backwards when the time comes.
Awesome.
Picture This Clothing. So I've ordered one. My daughter has done this. She loved it. Of course, she wanted to bankrupt me by drawing hundreds of drawings because that's what she does. But basically, kids draw on these templates, and then they get clothes in the mail.
That's it. With
their art on them.
With their art, it's they basically we wear your imagination. They color this template, send us a picture of the art, and we turn it into. It's basically a custom. Right now, it's all dresses, but we're planning on launching T-shirts very, very soon. So we'll.
Good.
Cover a broader gamut there.
For boys and for tomboys.
My
daughter's now at a stage where she does not dress girly at all. Everything's
my older
t-shirts.
Daughter, exactly the same. My older daughter will not wear a dress. Like, no.
was she very girly as a kid?
No, she's never been very girly. She did she likes, I guess, colors that would be qualified or have been stereotyped as girl colors, like
right.
Pink. She
right.
used to love pink. But no, she's just it's just never really pants sort of girl. She likes leggings. She
yeah.
likes big housey shirts and yeah.
My kid's all
roomy
political about it. My kid's political. So when she was really little, she wanted to make sure everyone knew she was a girl, like 2 years old. But now she wants to be androgynous because she's actually so aware of the threats against her. She's morbidly aware, too aware almost. I mean, not too aware. You can never be too aware. But for a 12-year-old, I think she's very aware of threats against women, and she doesn't want to be a target of some creep. And so she diminishes her, traditional femaleness and sort of
sure.
which is
interesting take. That's an interesting way. With Sophia, my older daughter, she's almost 12, but her awareness of gender neutrality and like really I feel like she's the biggest advocate for gender neutrality that I've ever met in my life, and I love that about her. I was like, wow, it makes me more aware and more like aware of just when I ask questions, like she'll bring up a friend's name and I'll say, is that a boy or a girl? And she's like, what difference does it make? It doesn't even occur to me. I'm like, wow, I'm terrible and I didn't even realize.
Yeah. Well, my daughter's been morally shaming me since she could speak, so.
Oh, that's great.
I didn't realize how prejudiced I was either. There's a very famous, a great singer, a lady who sings. She's probably in her 80s now. And she was at an award show being honored for a lifetime of achievement. And someone had advised her to dress sexy. So she had this huge cleavage. And she's obese and she's very old. And she had this cleavage. And it wasn't something, it wasn't the best look for her.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you call that? And my daughter was three, said, a human being. And I'd like, never done that again. Like, I've never
That's
done
that. Awesome.
Yeah. She was like, she completely shamed me. And, it just, they just get better vocabularies. Yeah.
We need it sometimes.
Yeah.
And they have an awareness. And then, like kind of tying it back to the picture of this thing. This is, for me, it kills me. and I'll just kind of talk about kid art for a second. And so it's like the pureness of kid art, right? And like one of the motivations behind this is when Sophia always loved to draw and color, and some of her best stuff, I believe, came when she was like between the ages of 2 and 5. And I remember my soul being crushed just a little bit when I went to my very first parent-teacher conference, and the teacher was explaining to me how we needed to work on things like, you know, when she draws a house, like here's where the ground goes and here's where the sky goes. And it really did. It crushed my soul. I was like, no, like the purity of kid art is so, you know, unfiltered by these rules that we've decided this is what's good and this is what's bad. And to me, like, you know, we get a lot of parents that are like, oh, well, my kid's too young. They're only 2 or 3. I'm like, well, we do toddler sizes, and I can tell you some of the best stuff we see are these, you know, what I guess we would call scribbles that come through for 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds that are just pouring pure joy and emotion out onto the paper, and maybe don't even know what they're doing, but like they're just coloring, they're putting beautiful colors on a paper, and that's all that matters to them.
But you raised a really good point about education, because I'm a huge believer in education. It's really important. But at the same time, one drawback to our educational system is that specialness isn't exactly understood or rewarded. So if a kid has a very unique point of view that's consistent and interesting, people try to talk them out of it, the same way kids are discouraged from making art after a certain age, or, you know, boys are discouraged.
This isn't good. Right. This is good. Yep.
Boys, okay, stop playing with that and now play football. You don't want to play football. Well, you know, you should play football because something's wrong with you if you don't. And and nothing wrong with playing football. I'm just saying teachers in some teachers and sometimes get pressed into, I don't know, like social conformity leaders, as well as not all teachers by far. But I remember thinking my daughter's, like a teacher being upset with my daughter's answer and me thinking, that's actually a very sophisticated, true answer. It's just not what you were looking for. Right. But it's actually true. Anyway, but you know what? I think a lot of people listening to this will also kind of identify with that. I think if you're a creative person or a designer or whatever, just a creative human, you're more at peace with alternatives and other ways of thinking.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think you're used to being kind of on the fringes often as a, you know, as a creative person, the different thinkers or whatever. But yeah, I do think that that's true.
Does working with kids art help you cope with the societal things that are so difficult for Americans right now? For example, the frustrations a lot of us, maybe everyone has, you know?
Yeah. You know, I want to say yes, but at the same time, like when I answer this question, I don't want to come off as being disconnected to what's going on politically and what's going on in the world. But I have to say, with everything that's going on, having kid art is a part of my everyday. Like I see, you know, no two dresses are alike that we make right now. Like nothing is the same. It's all different and it's all amazing. And, you know, it's everything from unicorns and rainbows and ice cream to we had one with the Titanic on it. We've had, you know, we have had dragons and skulls, and it's just, it's amazing to see. It's kind of like a little peek inside the children's minds, you know, and where their hearts are and their happiness and their joy, despite everything else that's going on, you know? To me, yeah, to just simply answer your question, yes, it's amazing and it's delightful. And my goal right now is I still consume a fair amount of content on the internet. I try to stay on top of what's going on. I voice my opinion mindfully. I put my money where I believe, you know, my beliefs are and support causes the best I can. But at the same time, I have customers on both sides of the, you know, of the political party, and I respect people's opinions. But I'm happy to have something positive to put out into the world. So I guess that's it. That's my piece right now.
Yeah, I actually think if we could tone down a little bit and listen better, it would, regardless of either side, I think it would be helpful, because I don't think either side is going to convince each other of anything right now. You know, it's just basically so. Yeah,
it's a very, very peaky climate right now.
It's and I have not had a comfortable day. Right, in months. It seems like every day I'm just sort of. Anyway, but we're here to talk about lots of things. And you started Picture This about a year ago?
About 6 months ago.
6 months ago.
What is today? Is the
17th? Today is the 17th.
Exactly 6 months today.
Congratulations. So, yeah. What a nice way to celebrate.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Who is your partner and how did you folks come up with the idea and how did you decide to make this a business?
All right. So I'll try to do the shortest version possible here. But when Zia, my youngest daughter, she was home on a Christmas break. This was like she was six and she just barely turned eight. So she was six. It's Christmas time. She's home for Christmas break. I'm trying to keep her busy. She's drawing pictures. She brings me this picture of a rainbow dress that she drew. I said, whoa, you know what? I actually think I could make that. I have like 4-H level sewing skills. I take her to the fabric store. I work from home. You know, I worked for myself at the time. And I do again. But I felt like that was an important note. Anyway, so working from home, work for myself, take her to the fabric store, $75 worth of fabric. Like she picks out this, you know, fancy, beautiful rainbow colors of fabric. I put together a pattern over the next 3 days. It takes me about three days to put together.
It's kind of like pixel art, right?
Yeah. Well, hers original one wasn't though. And this is the thing. So I made it, right? Like this very first dress. So we didn't have this idea of like actually printing out what the drawing was until later. And right. That's like, so I made this dress. She wore it. I couldn't get it off her. The first thing she said when she put on this dress that I had made from her drawing was, oh, I'm wearing my imagination, which was brilliant, right?
That is. So she gets a royalty.
So, right. Right, like a percentage of the company now,
I'm
right?
I'm
wearing my imagination, which to me was just brilliant. Like you can't capture, you know, can you capture and bottle that emotion that I saw in my child's face from making this dress as poorly made as it was? She wore it every day for like the next 3 months, like almost every day. I had to force her to take it off so I could wash it and, you know, but everywhere she went, friends, parents of friends, strangers we didn't know were like, where did you get that dress? It's amazing. Oh my gosh, I love it. My daughter would love something like that. And, you know, my boyfriend, Ken Finney, who is also incidentally a designer I've been working with for many years, brilliant. But yeah, my significant other, we'd go to, you know, movies and stuff, take the girls with us and Zia'd be wearing her dress. And after a couple months of this, just constantly people commenting on this dress, he's like, you've got something here. You should do something with this. And my first response is, I don't want to be a seamstress. Like, this is not a thing I want to do. I'm a, you know, a designer turned whatever, coach, you know, whatever. I've been a lot of things. I do a lot of things. Sewing isn't really where I want to put my energy.
Right.
And, you know, we just kind of like left it there. But then, you know, within another 10 to 15 days, Ken was like, you know, I can't put this down. I really have to credit Ken for most of this. He was like, what if the kids actually just wore the drawing? Like, what if there was a way to do that? And that was interesting. So that was like, okay, let's talk more about this. What could be a viable business? You know, we ran numbers also on making custom from the drawing. It just didn't add up from a business perspective. Right. Like,
I mean,
you know,
with the hours.
Yeah, with the hours and the fabric, like, which is what I put into Zia's, it would have been like a $300 dress, like if I had wanted to make any money off of it. And, you know, to do that ethically and inside the United States, which is a big deal for me, which is what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. We wanted to come up with a viable business model where we could, you know, pay people real wages and have it made here in the U.S. And anyway, he came up with this coloring sheet. And, you know, it started with this dress and making this drawing real. And then evolving that idea. So kind of a ping pong back and forth between Ken and I over a couple months. And then we reached a point where we're like, okay, well, we've got this idea. Now how do we bring it to life? We need a proof of concept. How do we keep it simple? So both of us have design backgrounds. I was a web designer for 12 years before I stopped kind of doing hands-on design. But I didn't have any desire to make a website, like go back and dig through code and anyway. So we pulled in a friend of ours who we'd worked together at Zappos with, a guy named Ignazio Lacitinola, great designer, one of the best like that I know, the go-to resource when people ask me, do you have a web person? So Iggy,
oh, nice.
is that guy. And we called him up and we're like, hey, you know, one of these things, we have an idea. We bounce ideas off each other all the time, the three of us. And we said, you know, so it's basically like we had an idea baby and we needed a godfather to help us.
You're talking about picturethisclothing.com now.
Yep.
And it's wonderful because there's all these nice little touches, like a magic wand crossed with a crayon, and it spins when you hover over it. I don't know. You know, I can't tell you what business goal that's accomplishing, but it's delightful. And there's the demo of the girl, Sophia, right?
That one's Zia. It says Sophia on her paper, but that's like an homage to my other daughter.
Okay.
But Zia is getting all the credit for this.
Okay. And it's immediately clear what this is.
I hope so.
How did Amy Poehler get involved in this, by the way?
So interestingly, they called us. Amy Poehler has a thing called Amy Poehler Smart Girls. And it was basically, it was born out of being on the red carpet and the women getting asked, you know, who's your designer? What are you wearing? Who are you wearing? And like, those are the questions that the women get on the red carpet.
Right.
And the men get, you know, like real questions. What do you think about the political climate? What do you, right. you know? Real questions, and we get questions about what are you wearing, and they were fascinated with what we were doing. They loved it as an idea, and you know, really, when we kind of cracked down, like I didn't do this as a gender specific thing. We focused on dresses because it started with dresses, and we were doing a proof of concept. And so, interestingly, like with a proof of concept, you just do the bare bones minimum, right? We used our first. Our first website was built on WordPress templates and, you know, like just something quick to get the idea out, communicate what it was, accept sales if we got any. What we didn't expect was, so we launched it, you know, Iggy, over the course of like 10 months, this website was kind of going, we all have regular work that we're doing. So it was like side project, right? We also wrangled in our friend Stefan to help us with some logistics stuff on the printing side. And so it was basically Ken and I had this idea baby. We pulled in Stefan and Iggy as our godfathers to help us raise this idea baby and kind of bring it to life. And so over the course of 10 months, it took us 10 months from, you know, presenting the idea to Iggy and then Stefan and then bringing it to life, prototyping, testing, patterning, all kinds of stuff.
And today's Big Web Show is sponsored in part by Incapsula. Now, we all know the web can be a dangerous place. Incapsula is a cloud service that makes your website faster and safer. They have a worldwide network that inspects every packet that comes and goes from a website, blocking attacks against your site while delivering your content to your customers faster. With a global network of 30 data centers and 3 terabits of bandwidth, Incapsula sits in between your servers and your customers, routing and filtering traffic. Attack traffic like scraping bots, denial of service attacks, they never make it to your servers. Meanwhile, your content is cached and connections are optimized. Using their CDN, content is delivered lightning fast. Incapsula's custom software and servers, plus their 24/7 operations team, keep it all running. Now, Incapsula protects and accelerates over 4 million websites every day, from individual bloggers up to Fortune 500 companies. And because Incapsula is a division of Imperva, an experienced security company, you know your site is in safe hands. Every day, websites of all sizes are attacked. Criminals use giant botnets to scrape website content, try to break into databases, and bring sites down with denial-of-service attacks. On the performance side, customers are impatient, and sites that take even 3 seconds to load can turn off potential customers. And if your site goes down or is unavailable, customers will go somewhere else. Incapsula solves all these problems. Now, Incapsula is currently offering a special deal to Big Web Show listeners. Just visit incapsula.com/bigwebshow and enter the code BIGWEBSHOW, all one word, and you'll get 1 month free. That's 1 month free when you visit incapsula.com/bigwebshow and use the code BIGWEBSHOW. I want to hear about the testing and research, but I also just have some technical concerns like what's the basis of your shopping? What shopping cart software do you use? And how do you actually deliver the dresses? How do you do fulfillment? So,
Okay.
I'm curious about those things. Because when someone starts a business, you know, there's the internet, there's the idea part that's in our brains. That's like the most exciting. Then there's execution, creative execution. And then there's like the digital product, right? The website. But at some point, this is a real thing in the real world. So how does it get made? How does it get shipped? How do you actually take the orders and get the money and all that?
Yep. Oh, man. I feel like we could talk for hours on this alone, right? So the website, sort of quickest path to proof of concept. And again, when we launched this on August 17th, that was our intent, proof of concept, because a lot of people can get excited about an idea, but are the customers really there? That's what we wanted to see. Is this a real idea or is just a great idea that goes nowhere?
It doesn't feel like a minimum viable product. It feels like a real product from a real company. But you're saying that it is. This is the proof of concept MVP.
Yeah, and it's grown. You know, we've had to grow quickly because we launched on August 17th with a single tweet from my personal Twitter account. It was just basically like, hey, here's a thing. Check it out. You know, I made this. Here's a thing I made with some friends. Check it out. And a link to the site. And, you know, we knew we had tested it with a couple beta testers. Basically, we'd gone through we worked with a sublimation printer here in town. So there's a secret sauce that I won't expose on part of the thing. But once we have a file ready and prepped, we give it to a sublimation printer who is here in Las Vegas, where I live, about 15 minutes from my house. And that's where the actual product gets printed, cut, sewn, and then delivered back to me.
Here's my question. So yeah. Assuming this took off and you had millions of customers, it would need to scale. So is most of what happens kind of electronic in nature? In other words, you don't have to get an email that says a customer sent a drawing and then you have to do something manually to that drawing. And then are the files getting shipped right to the printer?
No, they don't get shipped right to the printer. There is and that's what I'll call the secret sauce. There's a lot of pieces to our process that we can't share right now, but there is a process that happens before it goes to the printer. And if we gave that away, then that's the patent pending process. So we don't want to give that away. And so that happens. Basically, an order is placed online through the website, secret sauce. Then these files are available to our printer. They're organized by date. And he runs them. You know, he runs the prints. And then the sewing and the cutting and sewing happens right there in his shop. And we're subleasing a space within his warehouse now. He's got a front office that wasn't being used in a storage warehouse, basically, where he keeps a bunch of the fabric and stuff that he uses. So he is great. He's able to scale very rapidly, very quickly if we needed to. So that was something we looked for in a partner. And we looked all over the world, and it was just crazy chance coincidence that we ended up with somebody literally 15 minutes from my house. So
that's great,
that was
though.
Awesome.
That's great, though.
You know, just a person that we love working with and whatnot. But so that happens. And then now, you know, they leave the dresses in the warehouse for us. And then my sister and I run the ship shop. We go, we visually verify, do a quality control check, make sure everything's together. We verify the order, we pack it and we ship it.
So, now you've been featured in the Huffington Post and TechCrunch and Babbel and Insider. I don't believe you have an ad budget, right? How do you do your promotion? How do you get people aware of this aside from tweeting?
This has been so crazy. So this is we have only paid. I accidentally launched a Facebook ad while trying to figure it out. This was just this month or last month in January. So we've accidentally spent $20 on marketing. Other than that, we've not spent anything on marketing. So we launched with that single tweet that says, hey, I made a thing with some friends. By the end of that day, we had a write-up in TechCrunch. They didn't tell us they were writing up on us. They sent us an email with a couple questions, and I answered them thoughtfully, thinking they may want to do a write-up on us. So I will answer them thoughtfully, and hopefully they let us know if they want to do a write-up. But 45 minutes later, an article was posted, and our site crashed. So that happened, you know, and that was on day one. Day one that happened. Now, here is an interesting thing that I want to share. We had the TechCrunch write-up on day one. That was a Wednesday. Thursday, there was another little boost of buzz. And Babbel, it's a Babbel.com is a parenting website run by Disney. So Disney's Babbel.com reached out to us, and they did an interview with us on Friday, like the next day. And then that interview went live the following Wednesday. So like 1 week from launch. In between, like that 7 days, we had a post on, somebody posted on us, Product Hunt. We had, we'd been reached out. I don't know, all of these things, Business Insider, TechCrunch. But the Babbel article, when it went live, that was when we saw a real boost. So the first 5 days we got a lot of buzz and maybe like three orders. And so we were like, okay, this is why you prove the concept and don't sink a ton of money into something.
Right.
It's because like there was tons of buzz and we were kind of surprised that there had only been like three orders. But then that Babbel article went live 7 days after launch and then bam, that was it. And then Labor Day was the next weekend after that. And this company, this German company that does a publication called Now This, had also done an interview with me on like the Saturday after we launched, and theirs went live the day before Labor Day. And that immediately got like 3 million views when they launched it.
Wow.
And so Labor Day was it's still like a huge record day for us. We've had some great sales day, but that day was just amazing.
I've always thought, and this story kind of confirms it, that numbers aren't as important as audience, right?
Yeah.
So if you had a web development publication and it only had 10,000 readers, but every one of those readers worked at the W3C or Google or Apple, yeah, or you know what I'm saying, then or ran a studio, then go, okay, there are only 10,000 of them, but they're decision makers. This is really important. And I think it's really fascinating that that something like TechCrunch, which has millions of readers, was able to get you hits enough to slow down your, visits enough to crash your server, but not necessarily move the selling needle. And then Babbel, when it talked to parents, once you got to the right audience, because I think any parent who isn't starving, basically any parent who's above subsistence level, with a kid that likes to draw, which is all kids, it's a natural.
Yeah, and that's what we felt. You know, it was just it seemed to make sense. And, and then, as soon as like that parenting and they saw it on TechCrunch, Babbel.com, the woman who interviewed me, she's like, how did you get a TechCrunch interview? They don't give those out very much anymore, you know? And I was like, honestly, I posted on my tweets, on my Twitter, and they found us. Like, so, you know, I don't have a huge following on Twitter. I have like 12,000 followers. It's not, it's not insignificant.
Again,
but it's massive.
But think about who's following you.
I am an iOS, like my background is iOS and design. So that's interesting. But there are a lot of parents in there too. And a lot of, that's how TechCrunch found us. Really,
well, and because you also do so many different things, which I'm going to want to talk about. like you're also the co-founder of Tiny Challenges. Now, what's that about?
So Tiny Challenges, interestingly, started from I had like a career from 1998 to 2012 as a designer. I started in web design way back in 1998. And in 2012, I lost my dad and motorcycle accident, really unexpected. And I had a great position. I was the director of user experience at a company called Black Pixel. I worked from home. It was a remote position. We worked with, fantastic clients, Apple, Barnes & Noble, big, fancy clients. Really awesome. We were working on a project. I was really loving the clients, loving the people I worked with, the great team, all things great, right? I lose my dad, and it just kind of sent me into this downward spiral. Like, and I've experienced loss before. I had lost my brother when I was 11. I lost my mom when I was 27.
Oh, my God.
Just 10 years prior, and I was much closer with both of them. and then I'd grown closer with my dad over the 10 years since I lost my mom. And
anyway,
I don't say all that to like, oh, poor Jamie, but it unexpectedly sent me into a much darker place. I thought I've experienced loss before. I can work through this. I can get through this. But I just continued over about 8 months on this downward spiral into really, really disconnectedness with what I was doing. And as a experienced designer, as a designer, I think if you're disconnected with what you're doing, you have no business designing, right? Like,
very true. Yeah.
You know, so I,
you can't even do it.
Dark space.
You can't even do it.
And to me, to try to continue, I did try, and I did, you know, I was doing my best, the best work that I could, given the mindset, for 8 months. And I reached a point where I had this talk with my boss. I was like, I have to go. I have to leave. I'm not serving you, and I'm not serving our clients in this state. And I don't know what's next, but I know I need to go.
That was very brave.
It was a really hard decision. I'm an independent mom, meaning I got a divorce in like 2010, and I've got two girls, and their dad is an active part of their life. But I'm an independent mom, and so it's scary.
Right,
it was a
right.
scary thing, but I did. I left my job. I didn't have anything lined out, but things worked out, and I ended up taking on some project management stuff. So actually, I did some business consulting for a fairly well-known writer. And I actually can't talk about that work. It was NDA
sure.
work, but it was really cool work. And so I did that for like 60 hours a month, and the rest of it, I worked through. And this is what I started doing, these little challenges, like 30-day. I experimented with the design process, designing my life as if it were the product, because I'd had a lot of success in designing products. And I had this, I don't know, epiphany after a conversation with my friend Stefan. He's like, it's not about what's next. It's about what's important. And that got me thinking. And I'm like, that's what we ask clients. Like, what, you know, what problem are we trying to solve? I'm trying to get unburnt out. And so I just kind of reflected my design skills at my life. And I said, okay, like, I'm a designer. If I can design great award-winning products, I can design my life in a way that makes sense. And I just started applying the process as if I were my own client, right? Like, what problem am I trying to solve? What use case scenarios? Like, what am I trying to do here? And I literally did those through all these aspects of my life. And I started doing these little sprints.
I'm going to engrave those things as tattoos. Apply your design skills to your life. It's not about what's next. It's about what's important. I'm going to design my life as if I were the product, if my life were the product. That is such wisdom in little capsule form. I love that. And it worked, obviously.
It's worked, but it, you know, and it wasn't an instant thing, right? Like, it took, so 2012, and then I quit my job in like April of 2012, and immediately I just started writing. And I was like, I'm going to write every day. And then I got these writing, like, people asked me to write for money. So I was writing some blog posts for money, and that helped, you know, like, ends meet and all of this. So like, I was doing things that I loved and writing my emotions out and writing for, you know, I have technical and design background. So I was writing for different things and writing about designing my life. And I tried all these different things, like working through sprints like we do on projects, right? And so I would try like a month-long sprint. And I realized that what was happening is I would do great for 5 days or 30 days, but then I would always fall off. And so I realized I needed to break things down smaller. And, you know, as simple, like, you can think of a concept like I know I need to be a healthier person, right? Like, I, there are things that I could do. The healthier I am, the better I'll be able to serve my community and my children and all the things that are truly important to me. But I have to be healthier. And let's start with like drinking more water, because at the point that I was at, the only water my body was getting was like what it could extract from black coffee.
Right. So you broke it down into a series of discrete actions, one by one.
Tiny, tiny. And like, when you think of that, it's not like I need to drink more water every day, so I'm going to drink 8 ounces. It's sequencing too. There's like trigger, action, reward, right? Like the psychology of design and how I know, you know, I believe that I have a sort of like a psychology-based design background, right? And you design things around triggers. You look for a trigger that somebody does naturally, and you build your design decision off of those triggers. So that's the action. And then you reward them, and, you know, like with something like a gratification or whatever. And that's
a coin or a heart or
exactly or whatever. Right. Like, or, you know, you did it. Yay. There's a celebration,
right.
Something psychological that. But I know this from my design experience. And so I was like, OK, what's a thing I do every day? So far, wake up. So far, so good on waking up every day. That's a thing I do every day, no matter where I'm at. And I'll put the action, the tiny action of fill my water glass after that. And And then my reward is just to put my hands up Rocky style. Like, I did it. I filled my water glass. And if I drink it incidentally as a bonus, like, great. That's an extra thing I did on top of that.
Oh, wow.
Started with that.
Just showing up. Not even
that's it.
The complete action. Just showing up. I'm going to pour this water. Maybe I'll drink it, but I'm going to pour it.
That's it. And like,
it, this I reminds think... me so much of when I was getting sober 23 years ago, going to AA. And like, I'm going to go to a meeting and maybe I'll listen. But I'm going to get to the meeting. Maybe I'll share. Maybe I won't share. But I'll get to the meeting. Maybe I don't know if I'll stay through the whole thing, but I'm going to get my ass to the meeting.
That's it.
And I heard a story when I was in early recovery that I think about every day that really goes with what you're saying. There was a woman who got sober in her 60s. And she discovered, she sort of began to take stock of her life as she came out of this fog and realized that she'd spent years living alone as a hoarder, hoarding everything, basically every newspaper that had been delivered, pizza boxes, gum wrappers. Her apartment was an unsafe cesspool of detritus. Oh, and she called her sponsor and said, I'm going to drink again. I don't know how to deal with this. It's so terrifying. And the sponsor says, you're not going to drink, and let me help you, and let's start small. And they went there together, and the sponsor said, let's just get these gum wrappers in the corner. And that's all they did that day.
The next day, she
was like, maybe we could get rid of these pizza boxes. But it was not, let's load up and take care of this all immediately. Because that would have been overwhelming. It was, let's make these small changes and gradually change your life through a series of small changes. And it sounds like, that's what you're doing with Tiny Challenges. Now, is it a community?
It is. Interestingly, now I've with the launch of Picture This Clothing, I've let go of it a lot, but it's sort of self-sustaining. It's very small. There's a Slack channel. People support each other. There's a hashtag on Twitter. People do month-long challenges, and usually it's a small thing. You know, it's what's good. Just tweet one thing that's good today. I read a sentence from a book and eventually got through the book, or I read a paragraph or a page today, or people trying to do, or I did a sketch today, or, we try to do. So tinychallenges.com is a thing. It's a site that I literally put together with a Squarespace website in about an hour, and just kind of plopped some stuff together and said, here, because I was doing a lot of coaching. I'd done coaching certification during my burnout in 2012. I went through this big, long coaching certification where I could now coach people one-on-one and help them work through their stuff. And I started doing that. And I had a really good coaching client base, and I was doing individual coaching and corporate coaching. And so everything that I was having them do, there was always a Tiny Challenges piece. So a lot of it is, some of them are just friends and supporters and colleagues, former colleagues who have joined in the Tiny Challenges efforts and spun it off and done their own things. Some of it are former coaching clients. It's a thing. So it's pretty cool.
That is super cool. I need to thank another sponsor and then we will continue.
Awesome.
Now, I want to thank FreshBooks for sponsoring the Big Web Show. When you're running your own agency, wrapping up one project while starting another means you need healthy cash flow to keep things moving. If waiting for a client's check to show up in the mail is slowing your business down, it's time for FreshBooks. FreshBooks makes ridiculously easy-to-use cloud accounting software for agencies and freelancers that will help you work smarter, become more organized, and most importantly, get you paid quickly. FreshBooks has been completely redesigned from the ground up and custom built for the way you work. It really is beautiful. The designers did an amazing job. Get ready for the simplest way to be more productive, organized, and most importantly, get paid quickly. With the new projects feature, you can share files and messages with your clients, contractors, and employees. See how quickly things happen when all your conversations live in one place. And the new notification center is like a personal assistant. You'll always know what's changed in your business since you last logged in and what needs to be dealt with pronto, like overdue invoices. In fact, you log in and it says the such and such client is 3 days late or 10 days late paying. That is really helpful if you're like me and you're in the middle of you're constantly in sort of getting stuff done mode. and you're not so good at remembering who owes you money or who, you know, when things are due. I mean, to me, just remembering what I owe my client uses up most of my brain. So to log into your financial software product and have it tell you, you know, who owes you money and how late it is, it's kind of a very nice feature. There's lots of really great features. It's a beautiful piece of software, web software. And to claim your month-long unrestricted free trial, because that's really the only way you're going to see it. I can talk about it for, you know, 30 seconds here, but that won't really give you an idea. You can get a free month-long trial, though, and that will give you a better idea of whether this can work for you. To do that, to get that free unrestricted free trial, go to freshbooks.com/bigwebshow and enter Big Web Show. Three separate words for some reason. Freshbooks.com/bigwebshow, and you enter Big Web Show in the section where they say, how did you hear about us? So, and you fill out, it's a very short form. You fill it out. It says, how did you hear about us? Type Big Web Show, and they will give you a month free, and not like a crippled month, but an unlimited month where you can basically do anything. So thank you to FreshBooks for sponsoring the show, and I recommend it. I love that software. Okay. We've accidentally spent $20 on marketing. And other words to live by from Jamie Newberry, the co-founder of Picture This Clothing, co-founder of Tiny Challenges, advisor to Martian Craft, and co-founder of WWDC. Now,
WWDC Girls. I want to make that distinction.
Sorry, I'm very sorry. It's WWDC okay. Girls. Right, not the co-founder of the Apple founded the WWDC.
Right.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry about that. I don't know why. Right. So I have never been, but you were a big iOS designer, right? For years. I have never been to the WWDC conference. I'm on the East Coast and I, you know, lots of reasons. And I figure I'll read about it. And I'm more web focused than Apple focused as a designer in my practice. But what need were you addressing when you formed WWDC Girls? Does it help more women attend?
You know what? It seems to. And interestingly, the first WWDC that I attended was in 2011. We, our Zappos team, I was at Zappos at the time. I was actually, I think, just about to leave Zappos, but we had launched our mobile apps and through Zappos. And, you know, that was one of my big projects at Zappos, was leading the team that did the first mobile apps at Zappos. And it was awesome because it built a really great relationship between me and Apple. They had a lot of respect for what we did for Zappos. And so, yeah, our team went out to WWDC. I had never been to anything like it. Such a big, massive, like 5,000 people.
You've never been to a big conference.
I'd been to a big conference, but not like that.
I remember seeing you at South by Southwest, though.
You know, I've been to one. So whichever one you saw me at, that's the only one I was ever at.
Was that around the same time? Or
it probably was, because that's when I was at Zappos, they did more.
That's right. I think it was 2012, which I'm now realizing was 5 years ago. Jeez,
oh, my gosh.
Louise.
It goes so fast, doesn't it?
This is crazy.
Crazy.
If I sit right down the number 2012, that shouldn't be five years ago.
It's that's seriously crazy. 2017.
The 90s was like, I don't know, 40 years ago or something now. I don't know.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. I don't know how this happened, but my friends on Facebook are old. I don't know how that, like, I'm young. I'm very, very young. I don't understand how these old people went to school with me. It seems like there's some kind of mistake.
The same. I don't even know where time went, because I don't feel as old as I am. Like I say I started in 1998, like web stuff after I graduated college, like I was just like, wow, that's a really long time ago. that's a while ago.
It is. Man, it is crazy. But it doesn't. It's been such a wonderful whirlwind. And look, I mean, you've done everything, right? You've worked in-house. You've worked as a freelancer.
Yeah.
Now you're a product. You've been a product designer for other people's products. You've
Yep,
worked at
I've
an agency.
owned my own agencies. I've worked for massive agencies. Yeah, I've done a
And
like
now you
you
own your
name
own
it.
product. Is
Yeah.
owning your own product the most fun, or was the agency the most fun? What,
You know, it's funny because I think for this time, this moment in my life where I'm at, I'm almost 42 years old now. I don't know, it feels right now. And you know, I remember when I hit burnout in 2012, 5 years ago, I had reached a point where and let me backtrack just a little
You
bit further.
actually, you have a pretty famous talk about burnout and excuses.
I do. It was a really good talk, and then I did a follow-up talk to that called No
No
Excuses.
excuses,
And
right?
this year I'll be doing a follow-up to that because it's all been just kind of this evolution of growing and designing your life, basically, right?
Keep continue, please.
That's
Sorry.
No, it's just so yeah, it's been this evolution, and you know, one thing led to another. I hit burnout. I tried to figure out how to work through it, and you know, and I didn't ever like come back, right? Like, I mean, I did come back. I feel like, okay, so I'm actually working on a book as well, and it's so close to being done, but
Yeah,
I
that doesn't sound like
launched
someone who's burned out. Starting a company and writing a book doesn't seem like someone you burned out on
I burned
continuing to
out
do
on
the
web
specific.
design.
Right,
Yeah, I burned
well.
out on web design. Mobile came into my lap at exactly the right moment. And so that kind of reignited the design fire again. I focused on
I think for a
iOS
lot of people,
specifically.
I think for a lot
Yeah.
of people, yeah.
And then that lasted for a couple of years. I went from 2010 to 2012. And then the losing my dad, you know, it got me thinking, like,
I was
do
going to
I,
say,
you know, Yeah, is working on a contacts management app where I want to put my time. I'm not, you know, a spring chicken anymore. I've got two young
You're
girls. Like,
very
what kind of?
young. You're still very young.
I feel young. I feel
Yeah,
good.
no, 41 is not old, but also, yeah, you can't underestimate the passing of your dad, and that's the last family member from
Yeah.
your birth family. So,
And my sister. I do have a
oh,
sister. Your
thank God.
sister.
Okay, I'm
So.
sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't. Okay, I did.
That's okay, but we joke all the time that we're orphans now, and it's just the two of
That's a
us.
big deal. That's a big
It
deal.
is. It's we experienced a lot together, and you know, she helps me run the ship shop now. Like, and every day I get to work with my sister, and I love it. I know people always warn against that kind of stuff, but in my experience, my co-founder is my boyfriend, and my ship shop manager is my sister, and every day is the best day of my life
It's
right now,
either
and
a
I love it.
disaster or it's the best thing you could do.
Exactly. And I've worked with folks that I'm related to before. And yeah, there are off moments. I'm sure those will happen,
I
but right
love my dad, but I designed a website for him and
now. Worst right?
let me just leave it at that. This was years ago and I he needed it and it's what I do, so of course I did it, but I think it was baffling for both of us because
Yeah.
you can't. For one thing, it just the power dynamics of a designer-client relationship are very different from the power dynamics of father-son. And even when you're both adults, there's still that stuff,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's biblical. It's like it's caveman. It's like a million years old. And you can't really say, well, as your designer, it's like, no, it just doesn't. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
I was like, on one hand, you need to trust me. I know what I'm doing. On the other hand, you're my dad. It's like,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. So
Oh,
this, it,
man.
yeah. But,
Parents. Working with parents is a whole different thing.
I do work with friends. And it usually, and I befriend the people I work with. It usually, there's some dysfunction and some craziness, but it usually works. I don't hire friends. I don't mean that. But what I mean
Right.
is when I start working with people and see how their minds work and see how their creativity functions, I end up kind of getting crushes on them, everybody I work with,
Yeah.
seeing how brilliant they are and being excited to work with them, and they become friends. I guess that's, I don't know if that's sad or not, but
It's true, and you know, when I hit that burnout and I did the redesign my life, and like I kind of plotted out my core values, so to speak, for my life, the what's important list. On my list was work on things I love working on with people I love working with.
That's
Like
brilliant.
that's an important element of my life, and that's what I do. And ruling out the other stuff, it makes saying yes and no a lot easier when you have that clarity.
That's very inspiring, right? If you have design principles, like if you have design principles.
Exactly.
And someone on the team says, all right, let's put a big drop shadow here. And you say, well, actually, that goes against our design principle. This is a very oversimplified example. But let's say we're using material design. I'm not advocating that at all. I'm just saying, let's say we're doing that. And someone wanted a big drop shadow or a photorealistic texture. You'd say, nah, that's not part of our design principles here. That's outside the aesthetics. That's not what we're going to do.
And 100% if you can, it. That's so 100%.
Again, you're applying your design skills to your life and going, okay. And I need to do that too because I have problems with like favors. Like doing things for people that I'm probably not in a position to do, but
not
knowing
brain.
How to say no and all this stuff. So, but yeah, I think that's very inspiring to be able to have principles for your life. Chris Coyer, you know who that is.
Of course I do, yeah.
Yeah, the CSS Tricks and CodePen and a million other contributions and the talk. He has a podcast. Anyway, you know who he is. Everyone knows who he is. But he did a thing like 1 year we asked him to speak and he said, I'm not speaking this year. And the next year we asked him to speak at my conference and he said, yeah, I'm happy to. And I'm like, this is a guy who plans out, I'm going to take a year off speaking, like who looks at his life like this is the year that I'm going to work on writing this book. And in order to do that, I will give up speaking. You know, because I think we're like a bad client wants to do everything. Right. A bad client says, well, it's really important that we look very corporate, but it's really important that we look friendly. We should feel like a Fortune 500 company, but also like a mom and pop shop. And you know what I mean? And they're like, you can't have all that. You've got to make a choice. And I feel like in my own undisciplined life too often, I'm like, yeah. So and the more I can go, you know what? I'm going to go to this party because I need a break, or I'm going to skip this party because this project is due and I'm focused, whatever it is that you're focusing on. I think it's great if you have a set of structures that you can apply because design needs structure. Without it, it's bad design. And
it does. It needs a compass, right? And that's really everything, Jeffrey. I mean, what I'm doing today came from that. It all started with, it's not about what's next. It's what's important. Mm-hmm. And then making that list, if we'll call it design principles. I actually did do an article about designing your life and I broke out the design principles, which now I just call it my what's important list. But that's exactly what it was. It was the process that I worked by. And those eight things are still, you know, I have to bring up that list every month or so and just look at it and remind myself, these are the things that are important to me. And, you know, when they're your core values, I think that they don't change a lot, but the things that you do, you know, a lot of people, finance stuff comes up a lot. I can't afford to quit my job because, or whatever your obstacle are. But finance is like a supporting element to what's important. It's not actually like an item on the list, right? And I've learned a lot. And everything that I'm doing right now is because I made that decision in 2012 to design my life and then have these guidelines that now I can measure every decision I make against and say, is it, you know, does this align with my design principles? And if it does, then I say yes. And if it doesn't, then I say no. And I keep moving forward and all these fantastic things keep happening. And I'm not saying things are perfect 100% of the time. There's turbulence. There's been more stress in my life in the last 6 months than, you know, when you accidentally launch a company that goes viral. Like it's stressful, but it's fun. It's an adventure and we're learning forward, you know? I don't know. Anyway. But yeah, those design principles and that it's a compass and it guides you. And if you stick to it, it's amazing what happens.
That is a beautiful note to pause on. I want to thank one more sponsor, and then we're going to wrap things up. So please help me thank Wix.com, our sponsor for today's podcast. Jumpstart 2017 with a stunning new website created by you. With Wix.com, you can create yours all by yourself. It's easy. Just use the drag-and-drop editor to customize everything. Add your text, images, videos, and more. Wix makes it easy to get your stunning website looking exactly the way you want. No tech skills needed. Plus, your site is mobile optimized, so you'll look amazing on any device. Whatever you need a website for, Wix has you covered. The possibilities are endless. So start that blog or showcase your artistic talent in a beautiful portfolio. You can even grow your business with a stunning online store. or simply explore new ideas. Over 97 million people choose Wix to create their website. Holy cow. Make yours happen in 2017. It's easy and free. Just go to Wix.com. That's Wix.com and create your stunning website today. Okay, and the old clock spinning around tells us it's almost time to wrap today's episode. It's been pretty amazing. Last thought to someone who's burning out, maybe who's a little frustrated but feels trapped. Somebody who maybe they're also a single parent, or they're you don't have to be a single parent to be to have a lot of responsibilities. Maybe they'd love to quit, but they're scared. What advice do you have?
Break things down, identify what's scaring you and what's stopping you, and work through, you just kind of hack through those little obstacles. Like, once you have clarity around what you want, and that's not saying I know what I want to do or what I want to be, but clarity around what's important. And then you identify what is stopping you. That clarity gives you a clearer path, and you can start knocking out the obstacles. You know, it's not like I did it really quickly, 2012 to 2016, you know, to get to a point where I'm like, wow, okay, this is great. You know, that's a long haul, and it may feel overwhelming or daunting at first. I think if I had been in 2012 and felt like, oh my God, it's going to take me 4 or 5 years to work through all of this, I would have felt overwhelmed. Instead, don't think about how long it's going to take you to get through it. Break it down and start hacking away. Just do the work.
That is a beautiful note to end on. Her name is Jamie Newberry. She's on the Twitters at Jamie. Is there an easier way to say that?
I usually just say Jaime twice.
Jamie twice.
Jamie.
She's on the Twitter at WWDCGirls, on the Twitters at Tiny Challenges, on the web at tinychallenges.com, advisor to martiancraft.com, which we can maybe talk about next time, and the co-founder of picturethisclothing.com, where kids design their own clothes hands-on using crayons and get to wear their imagination. Jamie, thank you.
Jeffrey, thank you.